this week, and it's called Abiding in the Trinity. Now, you might be wondering what that means. What does the Trinity mean? Christians say it all the time. They say you have to believe in it, but does it actually affect our lives? Let's see. The Trinity is simply a word to define the way God has revealed himself. It's who he is. It isn't just a definition. God is triune. He's three in one. And I do have a quick definition just as I thought it could be helpful. There's one eternal God who has revealed himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are distinguishable, yet indivisible and of one substance. And what does this mean? Sounds like a bunch of jargon. It means they are so one that they cannot be separated, yet they are distinct, and you can see roles within the Godhead. And so I really don't want to get into the weeds of the definition of the Trinity today, but I thought it'd be helpful to give it anyways. Today I want to talk about something specific. I want to talk about a relationship, okay? And we all love a good relationship, don't we? We have industries built off of relationships. We have whole magazines dedicated to capturing love, capturing relationships, tabloids, paparazzi, cameramen. We have Netflix shows. We got Love Island. We got Love Doctor. We got Love Bubble. There's too many. I don't even know. Married at First Sight anymore. I watched some of those during COVID. And they're entertaining. You know, they got a series for everything. It's all about relationships. Our culture is obsessed with watching other people's relationships and they don't even affect us. I don't know why, but I watched it too. You know, people have wealth, status. You almost get, it's like you get to dream what it'd be like to be in that relationship, almost. It's like what it'd be like to be a part of it. It's almost like you're there. But at the end, we always get let down because that's not our life. It doesn't affect our life. It really has no implications. It's just fun. It's just entertaining. I think we'd be okay if we didn't know what was going on between Kim K and Kanye right now and Pete Davidson. Doesn't really affect us. It's just entertaining. I get it, though. But what if I told you this, that there's a relationship that isn't just good TV time. It's not just a fantasy. It's not just something to entertain you. It's not just a nice thing. It's not just a good news article. What if I told you there is a relationship that could change your whole life and had implications for your whole life? It wasn't one you just spectated. It's the one that changes everything today. It affects everything you do, big or small, this relationship. It affects the state of your happiness. It affects your peace. It affects your eternal destiny. And again, this isn't just a relationship you watch from the sidelines. They are actually inviting you to be a part of it, and it's real. There's no letdown at the end. You actually get to be a part of this today. And we get a glimpse into this relationship and some of its implications in our text today. You know, preachers always have like a text they read from and preach from, and we're going to have one today. It's John 17, and we get to be the flies on the wall in this text. We get to be the cameraman. We get to be the paparazzi. We get to look inside and see what's in there, see what we can take from it. How does this relationship affect us? Who's in the relationship? What's it about? What are they doing? You probably already know who I'm talking about, but let's see. How do they interact? So here it is, John 17. And I'll tell you this. This is just Jesus praying. He starts off his prayer praying for himself. He's praying to the Father, his heavenly Father. Then he starts praying for his disciples. Okay? And then he prays for his future disciples. And this is what's happening in this prayer. So let's look. Let's see this relationship. I'm just going to read it. It's a really long passage, so bear with me. It's important. I'm going to bring out some things from it, so try to pay attention as best as you can. We aren't going to get like a super microscopic view of this verse, but we're going to kind of read the whole thing and then maybe come back to different parts of it throughout the sermon. So, all right, with that being said, let's read our scripture that I'm basing this off of. So it says, I have manifested, and again, this is Jesus praying, the Son praying to the Father. He's saying, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. For their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Okay, that was a very long passage. Give yourselves a hand. You listened through a long Bible passage. It's okay if you didn't capture everything in it. It might have even been confusing. Is it? I don't know. It was confusing to me. The Bible is a deep book. You aren't going to get it all on the first read. I just want to say that. It's a deep book. It's okay that you don't understand it right away. It takes some studying. It was written 2,000 years ago. There's a lot of context and stuff to look at. So that happened with me as well. You know, I was studying this passage this week, and we're just going to look at three things today out of this text. We're going to be the flies on the wall and look at the amazing relationship between the Father and the Son. This is what this sermon's about, the relationship between the Father and the Son, and we get a little glimpse of it into this text. So now we're going to read more scripture. We're going to read a little bit more. We're just going to go back like three verses, and this is going to set it all up for us. So this is right before Jesus prayed what he just prayed and what I read, literally two verses before. It says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth by accomplishing the work which you have given me to do. And now you, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world existed. So this relationship between the Father and the Son, this is Jesus praying directly to him. They have no wrong motives in this relationship. Think about that. They're in relationship with each other, have no wrong motives. They aren't keeping score. They're in a relationship, not keeping score. They do everything out of love and purity. They love each other just because of who they are. There's no other relationship like this. Not the ones we're in, not the ones we see. We're all doing things with a little bit of a wrong motive. They give each other honor and glory. It's the perfect relationship. This is where our attention needs to be. This is where our focus needs to be. Not on these relationships out there. The tabloids need to see this. This is a perfect relationship. They've been in communion since eternity past. So this relationship is a standard for any human relationship. This is what we shoot for. This is the ruler by which we measure all human relationships. So what makes this relationship so special? Well, let's see. Like I said, I was getting really confused when reading this passage. It was like, the Father has this. He's given it to the Son. Then he's given it to the people. He gives them your name, but then it's his name at the same time. And he's going there. And I was trying to, like, a spider web, figure out and make all these connections, like a jigsaw puzzle, figure out where all the pieces went. Because it looks like a confusing passage at first glance. I couldn't tell whose name is what. They kept giving things back and forth. And it goes on and on throughout the passage. The lines were really blurry. The lines were blurred. And then I realized the scripture wasn't making sense because I was trying to separate the Father from the Son. I was understanding the scripture through the lens of the Father and the Son being separate. But when I put them together, it all made sense. When the Father's saying, I give you this to give to them, it's because they're one. They aren't separate. And when you read it starts to make sense. John wrote it in such a way where you can't even tell who has what, who gets what, because they're so one, they can't be separated. You forget where one begins and where the other ends. It becomes clear. And to separate them makes it confusing. You're not going to understand this text when you separate them. And the best example of this, try to be vague, is when, you know, married people are making love. That happens, right? It's a God-given gift. And you can't tell where one person begins and where one ends because they're one. That's the type of relationship the Father and the Son have with one another. They are so unified, you can't tell where one begins and where one ends. That's how unified they are. And so why should this matter to you? I'm talking about them. How does this even affect us? Are we just watching another Netflix show? Are we watching another news article just focused on someone else's relationship? No. It's because this should matter to you because you're invited to be a part of it. It's not just a relationship you can gawk and spectate at and wish your life was like that or wish you're part of it. It's a relationship you're invited to experience for yourself. So, how can we get into this relationship? Well, let's start by how you don't get in. Okay, you don't get in it by volunteering at the homeless shelter. You don't get in it by making donations to nonprofits. You don't get in it by beating yourself up or crying when you sin. You couldn't shed enough tears to merit yourself the ability to get into this relationship. You don't get in it by doing things for God. You can't make enough corrections to your moral character to get into this relationship. You can't do enough good things. Why? Because even the good things are tainted by wrong motives. We just want to be seen as a caring person. We want to be seen as sensitive to others. And so that's why we do these things, because we care about other people's approvals more than God's approval. We do a lot of different things, and even the good things are tainted. We're utterly hopeless in our own selves to get into this relationship. The invitation is wide open, though. The invitation is wide open for you to get into this today. But there's only one way to get in. And why is that? It sounds harsh. Well, because God is holy. He's so different and set apart from us. He's like the sun. If you get too close, you die. God is perfect. And only the perfect can come into communion with him. God's standard is high. I'm going to speak a little more on it. If you even look at someone with lustful intent, you've committed adultery to God. If you hate someone, you've murdered them to God. This is a standard, and we're all doomed. We'll be condemned and separated from God and his love if we don't come into the relationship with him his way. So, you need an in into this relationship. You need an in. You need someone to let you in the door. Need to come in with someone who's perfect. And the way to get in is through faith. Yep, that's all I said, faith. Faith alone. But it's not just, here's the thing, it's not just believing that God exists or believing that Jesus I mean, literally, it's not even believing he rose and died and did all that stuff on the earth. I mean, that's pretty historical. You know, it's a historical fact that he lived. You're not really, it doesn't do much. But there's a faith in a specific thing about his life that is a key. It's faith alone. You can do nothing to earn it, but it's a specific faith. Well, first, you have to stop believing some things to have access to this faith. You have to stop saying, God, my good deeds, all the good things I do earn my way into your presence. All the things I've done for other people make you love me. You stop thinking those things will bring you to God, and you believe that the only way to God is through the Son. Remember, they have the perfect relationship, the Father and the Son. This is what this is all about. You believe that Jesus' life and what he did and his own connection to God applies to you and gives you access to a relationship with the Father. Now, that was a mouthful, and I'll say it one more time. You believe that Jesus' life on the earth and what he did and in his own connection to God, that it applies to you and gives you access to a relationship with the Father. This is how you get in on this. For anyone who believes in Jesus as the way into this relationship, Jesus' life and actions in his life apply to you. Now, let me illustrate this a bit, because it can be very ethereal, can sound metaphorical, it cannot make a lot of sense to us. We know that's right, but it doesn't make sense sometimes. So who's been to a ECU football game in here? Anybody? Okay, me too. They're pretty fun. And you know what I don't like about ECU football games, though? I don't like the long lines to get into the stadium. I don't like getting through security. I don't like sitting in the heat, pouring down sweat. Amen, Dad. I don't like the overpriced drinks. And that's most of our experiences at ECU football games. Like, what if you didn't have to worry about that? Think about that. Imagine you went to the game with Justin Bieber. He just pulled up on you in Greenville. He's like, let's be friends. Come with me to the game. Well, now the line doesn't even exist. You get, and the security, they escort you to the room with AC, with free drinks, with free food. Why? All because you're with Justin Bieber. You're being treated as if you've done everything he's done. You skip the line. They're telling the employees to pay special attention to you, to give you extra care and top service. Because there are times when you're with certain people, it can get you into places you have no business being. It can get you into places you have no business being. You have to come in with someone else to get it. Okay. All because you're attached to someone who has the credibility, who has done the work, who has the reason to be there, who has the accolades. You're getting credit for things you never did, but it's real. It's almost like you sold a million records. It's like you're the most famous person in the world. You're being treated like it. It's like you've been a number one Billboard artist. So when you come to the Father with Jesus, because he consecrated himself, you're consecrated. Because he got on the cross, you got on the cross and died with him. When he came up out of the tomb, did you go in the tomb? No, but you came up with him because you are one with him. And so now the gospel makes a lot more sense because his whole life applies to ours. It's as if we did everything he did in the life. When he was on that cross, so were you, punished with him, in him. Jesus so attached himself to us. He is, if you put faith in what we just talked about, he attaches himself to you. He becomes one with you now. He prayed at the end that they would be in us. The Father-Son relationship. Jesus spoke in such a way where he assumed that his life on earth and what he did would apply to his believers as if they did it. And he did it all out of love, so that you could be brought in. He did all the hard things. He died on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty that we owe to God so we could be forgiven and brought in to the number one relationship in all the universe that everyone should be talking about. You yourself don't become different. No, it's all because of who you came in with. And everything changed. They're rolling out the red carpet now. It's just because of who you're with. We have no business being in a relationship with God, but here we are. Here we are. But when you're with Jesus, you have all the business being in there. So, this is so good right here. When the Father says to Jesus, "My Son, with whom I'm well pleased," he says that over you. "My Son, my daughter, with whom I'm well pleased," because you're one with him by faith. This relationship has implications on you. You don't just watch it. Because the Father hears your voice, hears Jesus' voice, he hears your voice. Because the Father loves Jesus, he loves you. And this is freeing. This is the problem with Christianity today. A lot of times, we put a burden on ourselves and put it all on our performance when it can never be enough. It could not be enough. Remember, you look at a woman, adultery. You have hate towards someone. It's murder to God. You can't do it. You have to come in this way. So, now what? Now that we're in this relationship, how are we supposed to live? How does this actually affect our everyday life? What's the difference between these relationships we watch online? Well, it actually does. It has implications for everything you do, big or small. Big or small. And I'm going to show you how. This is going to be very application heavy now. I hope you can take this honestly with you for the rest of your life. It's something you're going to grow in through your whole life if we can catch this application. It's not just a status change. Once you get into the relationship with God, you don't just change your Facebook status and that's it. You never talk to him again. It's not just an Instagram bio change where you put child of God. It's not just a selfie with God and then bye. This is a real life, everyday experience where it changes everything. And so what now? It's a whole new life. We, now that we're in this relationship, we get to participate and reflect. Now, what does that mean? We get to participate in and reflect the love of God. Remember, he's inviting us into his own relationship, so now we got to participate in it. But what does that look like practically? Let's see. So, remember, this is application heavy, so I'm going to give some examples. Say you're teaching someone something that's very difficult, like cooking. Or is that just difficult for me? I don't know. I cook eggs in the microwave, but... Say you're teaching me cooking. Let's do that. Say you're teaching me how to cook. Is a dish that normally takes you about 30 minutes to make, it's going to take you an hour and a half because I cannot cook. It's going to take you an hour and a half. Now, you might get frustrated. The eggs might spill on the ground. The tomatoes might get soggy because I'm not watching the water. And you might get frustrated and impatient. You might get frustrated with me and impatient, right? Who doesn't get like that, though? Like, literally, it can be anything. You're teaching someone how to build, put a table together. It's anything. Whenever we're guiding someone, teaching them, it can be frustrating because we already got it, okay? But then you have to tell yourself in the moment, this is the application, and they do not have to know you're doing this, the person you're with. You have to say, wait a minute. The Father has been patient with me my whole life. That we should have understood things by now. We should be over that sin by now. We should have forgiven that person by now. But the Father is still today smiling over you with patience. Right now. So when you're teaching others and are tempted to get frustrated, you get to be like the Father and participate in his life. And so literally, you can pause in the moment. And again, the other person doesn't have to know you're doing this. You can be doing it while being fully conscious, looking them in the eyes. It's just a slight, subtle perspective shift. When you think about this and shift your perspective in the moment, then the patience and smile of the Father becomes your patience and smile. Why? Because you're one with him. You're one with him. His relationship, God himself, it has implications on your life, everyday things. And now it has meaning. When you're guiding that person, it has meaning now. That's the thing. We're on a search for significance and purpose. If you view everyday life through this lens, everything can have meaning. And it's experiential. It's real. His smile, his patience washes over you. And then as that does, and then your whole perspective shifts, it reflects. They see the Father in you now. And so you are in a constant state of participating and reflecting and abiding in the Trinity. It's an awesome life. But what if you, let's go to another example. That's how you can be like the Father when you're in guiding moments, you know, you're teaching someone else something, getting frustrated. Wherever you're the leader, you know, you get to be like the Father. But what if you always feel like you're working for someone else? You never get the chance to be the front man. No one is ever giving you the props you deserve. You might be a janitor or a farmer. And everyone takes for granted the work you do. Like everyone does. Everyone looks over it. This could be you today. People don't notice what you do, but they notice when you don't. When is it going to be your turn to launch your own thing, huh? When is it? I know some people are tired of this. You're tired of putting in all this time into someone else's vision. Do you feel like this? Well, you're just being like the Holy Spirit. You're just being like the Holy Spirit. He's perfectly content with being in the shadows and making it happen behind the scenes. He's full of joy to point to another beauty. He's full of it. He loves it. And he's co-equal with the Father and Son. He's not lesser. He's still co-equal. He's still fully God. And remember, it's as simple as this. Shifting your perspective in the moment. Where am I in my life where I'm behind the scenes, not getting the credit I deserve? Holy Spirit, thank you for the opportunity to be like you. And then his humility, his contentness, his joy washes over you, and it becomes your humility, your contentness, your joy. And then you reflect God. You're reflecting God. How amazing is that? You get to reflect God and participate in his life. But that's just the Holy Spirit as well, and the Father. Jesus is God. Let's see how this can apply to life in Jesus. Remember, this is, the title is called Abiding in the Trinity. The Trinity, remember, is the Father, Son, and Spirit. One God, distinct persons, yet cannot be separated, or they're indivisible. What about times when we have to do things for other people? It gives us no personal benefit. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. We don't want to do it. Maybe it's giving a ride to someone that lives out the way. Maybe stopping and talking to that homeless man on the street who's trying to get your attention, but you'd be like, oops. Maybe it's raising your kids. Most of that, you're not going to really like, it's sacrifice, you know? You're not going to reap all these benefits. You're literally doing it for their benefit. You're sacrificing your whole life for them. Maybe you're always a follower and you never get to be the leader. Maybe it's investing time into someone knowing that you'll get no return on the investment, but they're the only ones that will get the return in on it. All of these scenarios are hard, but when you shift your perspective in the moment, this is all application right now, and say, I get a chance here to participate in the life of the Son, Jesus. And it gives a whole new meaning. When you're in these moments of sacrifice and having to push yourself for the sake of others when you don't get the benefit, his love comes over you. His compassion compels you. And then it becomes your love and your compassion. You become like him. It's all in this relationship that everything happens. The sanctification, the justification, the glorification. It's all happening at once just by participating in the life of the Trinity. You can connect everything you do to the life of God just through abiding. By the way, that's what abiding is in this sermon. It's taking those moments and doing what I kind of just showed you. That's abiding in the Trinity. It works on the small and big things, from taking out the trash to doing the dishes. It has meaning now. Yeah. Everything has meaning and joy now. And it's all just by consciously thinking about it in the moment and experiencing it. It's experiential. Don't forget that. And when we participate in the life and love of God this way, it automatically reflects God to the world. People are going to see something. Who out here is doing things and not expecting anything in return? Even sometimes our return is just so other people will think we're a good person, but what about just for their benefit? And no one's going to know you did the good thing, but they just get the benefit. No one's going to shout about it. We get to reflect the love of God. What would it look like if we viewed every action through this lens of abiding in the Trinity? What would our world look like if we're saying, man, I'm being the father to this person now. God, let your patience wash over me. Let it become my patience. Let your patience become mine. What would the world look like? What would we look like? How one and connected would we be? Because that's what he prays. Jesus actually said this should happen. He said this. I pray, Father, that they may all be one. He's praying for all of us, all of Jesus' followers. He's saying, I pray that they would be one. Just like, Father, you are in me and I'm in you. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is how the world is going to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the only way to have a relationship with God. By us abiding in the Trinity, participating in his life, and reflecting it to the world. The way we become one is by getting into that oneness the Father and the Son have. It's the ultimate relationship. You're invited to be a part of it and experience it and reflect it. Let me break down the oneness a little bit more. It's not just a bunch of different relationships with God. We're very individualistic in our Western society. There is one perfect relationship with God. That's what it takes. You have to be perfect. So we all have to come in through the same man, Jesus, to get to God. If we're all in the same relationship with God, then we're all one. We'll begin to have one heart, one mind, one unity. That's abiding in the Trinity. And so I'm just going to pray for us really quick. If you want to bow your heads, close your eyes, and just focus on God for a moment here. God, thank you for this day, this morning, your grace, God. I pray for anyone in here that does not know you, God, as the one who will let them in, as the one who will let them into a relationship with you, Father. I pray for anyone that doesn't know you, God, that you would stir their heart right now, Holy Spirit. That you would make this come alive to them. That you would make the perfect relationship of the universe desirable right now, Holy Spirit. Come upon us, Lord. And I pray for those of us who have been brought in, God, that you would reawaken love and life and joy in you, God. That we would see you as awesome, beautiful, and mighty, God. That we could see now that everything changes. Everything has purpose now. Everything has meaning. Everything makes sense, becomes clear. Our lives are hidden in you, God. Our lives are in your life, God. God, I pray it would stick with us, Lord, that we would abide in the Trinity. Help us, Holy Spirit. We just love you, God. Bless your name. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Zach. That was great. Mm-hmm. What a great word. Very practical for us this week, right? We're always leading or being led, right? Sometimes when you're a parent, you're both. Come on, parents. Leading and being led at the same time. All right. Why don't we stand to our feet as we finish this morning? We're going to open up the altar. If you need prayer.